Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Scott.
Back from the long congressional session for the August break, the annual August break. And one thing that we talk about this morning is that if you thought the attitudes about Congress couldn't get any worse, there's a new Washington Post ABC News poll out that shows 51% of Americans disapprove of their own House member. This is the first time in the 25 years the poll's been asking that question that a majority expressed this level of disapproval. What's going on?
Well, I think there's a genuine frustration. The economy is recovering, but too slowly from the depths of the recession in 2008-2007. Expectations of faster growth are being frustrated. And then there's this partisanship, which is so evident. There are a couple of examples of working together, but not enough.
The other thing we see is on the southern border, this humanitarian crisis. What's the solution there?
Well, the solution is first you have to deal with these children. These are children, and you have to provide adequate space for them. You have to provide safe conditions for them. They're fleeing a very violent and turbulent countries, the three key countries, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. And they're being exploited by these coyotes, the professional drug dealers and human smugglers. So the real key is going down into Honduras, El Salvador, and breaking up these criminal syndicates, helping the local authorities. The infrastructure of these gangs have for a long time is based upon smuggling drugs, and we have to stop that also.
It seems like we have both a humanitarian crisis and a border security problem.
Well, it is a humanitarian crisis. The border security problem has demonstrated the children is not as dramatic as in other ways. The children actually are coming and making themselves readily identifiable to the customs people and then the Border Patrol people. In the past, what we had was infiltration of individuals into the United States, trying to avoid the border, trying to get up away from the border. And then also we were seeing, drugs coming across, items that are very, very disruptive to our country.
The world's turned incredibly violent and complicated in the last few months. We're looking at the Middle East again with Israel and Hamas. What's the solution there?
Well, the solution is further negotiations to try to develop what we've always supported, beginning actually with President George W. Bush, with a two-state solution.
Do you think Israel really wants that?
I think the opinion in Israel is divided. I think what they want and what we would want would be security first, obviously.
Right.
They cannot allow their citizens to be subject to rocket attacks indiscriminately by Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist group. One of the problems in terms of reaching a solution is that the Palestinian Authority, Abbas and his colleagues, do want to, try to work through this, but they have Hamas also. So there's this division on the Palestinian side, and then on the Israeli side, and something that we would insist on too, you want security. You don't want to be attacked by rockets in the night.
An issue that touches both our international and national security and the Rhode Island economy is, of course, the submarine contract that you recently got to help Electric Boat build many more of those subs, those very high-tech subs down in Quonset Point. How do you think there's a way to guarantee that Rhode Island workers get those jobs, even though an out-of-state company, I understand, from Connecticut has been given the contract on the $30 million expansion?
You're absolutely right. We've done this in the past. They've built other facilities, and they have recognized the need to look and find qualified Rhode Island subcontractors and workers, and we are insist that they do that. Ultimately, it's their decision, but we insist they do that.
Should they be hiring union members with a PLA, a project labor agreement?
I think PLAs are responsible ways to deal with the issue. But even without a formal PLA, the company should be sensitive to the need to hire locally as much as possible.
An issue you've been very involved in lately is urging the president to take executive action on these corporate overseas tax moves that many large companies seem to be pursuing. We just got some good news, I think, on that front from Walgreens. That they're not going to do this. I know the CVS, headquartered right here in Rhode Island, is saying that if their competitors take advantage of these tax breaks, they might have to do the same thing. How do we stop this?
Well, we wrote to the president just a few days ago when the Walgreens merger was pending, and they were signaling they would, what is known, is invert. They would accept the foreign domicile and foreign taxes, much not pay their United States taxes. And I believe the president responded by directing the Treasury Department to start looking in very closely as what could be done administratively, and there's a range of things that can be done. This is extraordinarily unfair because, you know, many of these big companies who are either inverting or contemplating this have no aversion to taking government contracts.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a pharmacy chain, let's face it, what percentage of your customers are on Medicare or Medicaid?
Yeah, exactly. And also just the whole healthcare system receives direct and indirect
Sure, the research
support.
Grants from the NIH.
Exactly. All of that together.
Is there, though, a larger question here, which is the whole structure of business taxes in this country?
There absolutely is. There has to be tax reform, but we can't sort of wait for that moment and then allow these inversions because, you know, you will have a lot of companies that feel they have to do it for pressure from shareholders, pressure from just their investors and from their financial supporters. But the whole issue of corporate tax has to be dealt with, as well as other tax issues. But it's going to be something that provides, ideally, sort of a more even playing field, not only internationally, but between the small companies here in Rhode Island who pay sort of the statutory rate and big international companies who are not paying anything close to the rate because of all of the special perks within the code. And we have to go ahead and, make it fairer.
You're running for re-election this year, Senator Reid. When do you start your advertising campaign on television? When do you go into high-powered campaigning? When does that start? You now do have a Republican opponent, Mark Zakaria. So when do you kick things off? We've seen the governor's race and all the other races are taking up a lot of time on television and in the press.
Well, what I'm doing is what I've been doing for several years now. That's working every day for the people around. I think it's the best way to not only do your job, but also to get the kind of support you need to be successful in the polls.
So you have no plans on going on television?
We'll be going up on TV. I think that has to be part of a campaign. We have to go ahead and once again sort of communicate with the people of Rhode Island. Ultimately, it's their choice. And
you'll be open to debate your opponent, I take it?
We anticipate there'll be joint appearances.
Thank you very much, Senator Jack Reid.
Thank you.